Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog Podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and when I was young, I watched a lot of TV and played a lot of games.
I don't believe it.
Strangely enough, my dad hated it. Just wanted me to go outside, pick up sticks, or anything else.
Right.
So, in an effort to try to get me to do more outside, less TV, less video games, mm-hmm. he laid out a month challenge for me. He's like, if you can limit it to 1 hour of time in front of a screen per day,
okay,
for a month.
That's ridiculous.
I'll give you $100.
Did you do it?
I did it 1 month successfully. I would spend 30 minutes playing some video game and then 30 minutes on, had to watch it. Only TV show I would watch in that month.
Uh-huh. What was it?
Wienerville.
Were you allowed to turn the TV off during commercials?
Nope.
Save minutes?
Nope.
No.
Nope. It was just sitting there. I guess if I'd gotten up, walked away, and came back, maybe I could bank the minutes, but Dad probably wouldn't count it.
You asshole, by the way. I haven't thought about Wienerville for years.
Yeah. Mark Wiener?
You like that show, huh?
God, I fucking loved Wienerville. Boney and...
Leave me alone-y.
Yeah, dude. Loved it. I finished that 1 month, gave me $100. I was going to do the second month.
Right. But what'd you blow it on?
3 days into it, there was a Wienerville marathon. So that month I just shot and I didn't do it again.
What if that Wienerville marathon had been later on in the month? Do you think you would have been able to hold out?
Same thing. Same thing.
It's just an automatic.
I loved Wienerville.
And I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And when I came home from lunch today, Tyler, I don't know if you noticed when you came in, the lights were kind of dim, so you may not have. My dog, Ein, dyed his snout purple.
I'm glad you continued. I don't know if you noticed this when I came in, but Ein is dead. I just left him in the floor and dimmed the lights. It's his vigil today.
Yeah, we could do a special in memory of at the end.
Dyed his snout purple.
Dyed his snout purple.
What did he sniff?
He sniffed purple hair dye, so his snout is going to be purple, probably for a while. Nikki had put the remainder of the dye she used on her hair in the trash can with some cat litter. So he knocked the trash can over sometime when we were gone, and while he was in the process of using his snout to root out all the good cat gems, he inadvertently... rubbed his snout up against some purple dye.
Yeah, it's got to be.
So I've got photographs. I'll post at least one in the show notes if anyone wants to see. I told Nikki when she came home, I was like, I would have given anything if you had dyed your hair blue instead of purple so that my intro line could have been, I came home for lunch today, my dog blew himself.
See, when you said purple, I was going in my mind, there's a Grimace joke in there somewhere. Somewhere.
Yeah, it is deep deep down there somewhere. Yeah.
I was like, I could go with like, I'm sexually assaulting Grimace, but I can do better than that. I'll just mull it over.
I wouldn't put it past
Let's do.
I think it might be important to say we were maybe going to have a guest host on this episode.
We were supposed to have a guest host.
And I'm saying that not really to give him credit, more so to let everyone listening know that this episode's probably going to suck because we were really going to rely on Kevin Link to carry the show.
Yeah, we need a third party to bounce shit off of for this episode.
Because he told us that he wanted to do this episode because he really, really liked this game. Mm-hmm. So, Link... I'm sorry you couldn't make it up. You might want to go ahead and turn the show off because I'm just saying, I don't know for sure. I'm looking across the table here at Tyler and you might not like what you hear
today.
We're going
to take your childhood memories and just shit on them.
We're going to
We're
going to grimace it.
Yeah. He lives in Michigan or Wisconsin. One of the
They're
two.
They're the same.
He would say the same thing. Same thing. Mimel's hat, one of them, somewhere up there. It's a long drive down. He was going to make it in a day.
Yeah.
Dedication. Come over, sleep with me for a few hours. He was going to do that, record the show, and then turn right back around. But car issues sucks, but he was dedicated. We dedicate this in memory of Kevin Link.
Right. Dim the lights.
Which we always call him Link. Whenever his wife was like, what are you doing, Kevin? When we were hanging out at Comic-Con, I was like, who the fuck is Kevin?
Look around the room. Who is she talking to?
To me, Kevin is the centaur NPC from Josh Nance's D&D game. So like, Kevin the centaur, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's a Josh Nance deep cut.
Yep. Well, Josh, he made this centaur NPC. So like, Jacob, I want you to name it. And wrote down like three names for Jacob. But Jacob immediately, nah, Kevin. This centaur's name is Kevin.
I love it when our guest hosts interact with one another. You know what we do on this show, Tyler?
What do we do on this? Ramble into microphones?
Yeah. We do a little bit of that. What we're doing is right now we're playing our way through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games. Mm. Believe it or not, that's what we've been doing. A quest for glory. We muse about our experiences right here on this show.
Mm. We are a fifth of the way done.
That's kind of weird to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We're 20% there.
While we are at 20%, I went ahead and I was looking over other places' top 100 lists.
Mm-hmm. And Megalixir sent us some as well. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking after we get through IGN's, we can look at a few others and not play through them, but look at the gaps, what games they included. A lot of them include Famicom games.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good option for us to throw in a few Famicom games after we're done.
I'm cool with that. Famicom games are notoriously less expensive than Super Nintendo games.
Mm.
Also.
There we go. Mr. Hawkins, there we go. You can start us a Famicom Kickstarter. Just get all these Famicom games. We don't have something that can play them, but...
Right, right. Yeah, that's the downside. Like, that's the irony, right? Like, all these games are super cheap. However, the Super Famicom is literally $4,000.
We will only play one that gets to us mint, in the box, plastic, still smells like...
Oh, yeah.
The European Toys R Us. That's a thing, I'm sure. Where else would you buy your... KB Toys, maybe. I don't know.
I think I knew a girl in college who smelled like a European Toys R Us. Or it might have been a European showbiz.
European showbiz.
This week, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the number 79 game, Flashback. So before we get to the nitty-gritty of Flashback, I'll ask you first.
Please don't.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Dave, what have you been playing this week?
Flashback.
Ah.
I've been playing a lot of Flashback, Tyler.
I'm sorry.
Because it's a kind of a long game, especially if you don't know what you're doing. I told myself I wasn't going to use any guides because I wanted to get the full Flashback experience.
Man.
So let me go ahead and come clean right now at the beginning of the episode. I got about maybe halfway through stage two. I'm not very far in the game.
I wanted to get the real anal rape experience. So I just, this whole week's just been raw dogging it. Just brutal.
The only thing that has been keeping the gun out of my mouth has been the iTunes review. So it's been a dark week. I played a little bit more Rogue Legacy, but I talked about that last episode, so I'm not really going to go into it. But other than that, it's been Flashback, brother.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
How about you?
I played more Metro 2033.
Mm-hmm. Stealth missioning it up.
I have to say that it is the most difficult first-person shooter I've played to date.
Yeah.
Like, I repeated the same mission 15 times last night before I beat it. Like, I'm playing on normal.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it incredibly difficult. I tried playing stealth. Nope. Difficult stealth, difficult to charge in and attack people. Like, it was just all around difficult.
Is
fun.
It a good...
I enjoy it. Yeah, it's not... I'm not... I'm still going to keep playing it. It's just... Yeah. It's a difficult first-person shooter. And then other than that, I downloaded something called DOSBox.
Yes.
So I've been playing Maniac Mansion on DOSBox.
Nice.
I feel like that might be a better experience than on my NES.
Nice.
So.
I think I had DOSBox installed a couple of years ago to play the original Warcraft.
I've been playing it and it's just, maybe the original version didn't have any music, just sound effects. But I'm finding the lack of music in it, because I loved music in the NES version.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been grueling. It feels like something's missing with just the sound effects.
You just play, I mean, you have the TV on or anything? Or?
Yeah, I've got to have.
Yeah.
I've been catching up on Dexter. So Dexter and Maniac Mansion.
Forever.
I feel like the two connect.
Yeah, forever. You will think of one, you think of the other. Well, Tyler.
Prepare your anus.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready to get into
it?
I like to do a little segment that we neglected last time. Mm-hmm. I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a good idea. It's a good call. Sean Miller's favorite part of the show.
Right. Flashback, Tyler. It's a 1992 science fiction cinematic platform game developed by Delphine Software.
Oh, Delphine.
Of France. And published by U.S. Gold in United States and Europe. And Sunsoft in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
This game... This is verbatim from Wikipedia, mind you. Mm. This game came out on a shitload of platforms.
Yeah, it did.
To name a few, MS-DOS, Acorn Archimedes,
That's my next gnome character in D&D.
The Sega Mega Drive / Genesis and Super Nintendo in 1993. So that's what we played. Played the 93 version.
Mm-hmm.
There were CD-ROM versions of the game for Mega CD, 3DO, CDI, DOS, Apple Macintosh, and the FM Towns.
Okay.
There was also a cartridge version for the Atari Jaguar in 1995.
Oh, the Jaguar. I remember being livid about the Jaguar.
You were
Jaguar? Jaguar.
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 That's why you were upset?
It's like Will Ferrell pronounces this differently. There's a link for the show notes.
I don't know what you're referencing, but I'll find it.
It's an SNL skit where he's a Jaguar salesman. But that's how he says, I drive a Jaguar. But I remember Shake and I, our mutual friend Ashley Shake, we were very into the Bit Wars.
Okay.
And he was hyped about the Jaguar, had a friend that went and played it, and he was just livid because it's not a 64-bit processor, but they get away with it by having two 32-bit processors. So I remember both of us being like, oh, this is bullshit, Jaguar.
Did you write a stern letter?
Nope. We just bitched privately in our rooms.
There's more here. I'm sure we'll address it as we talk about the game.
The first 10 minutes of playing this, I felt like, this doesn't even feel like a Super Nintendo game. This feels like a computer game that they just shoved into a cartridge and put in.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a computer game.
They advertised it as such.
Did
like
they?
Like a CD-ROM on a cartridge.
Yes, I noticed that.
Already that's like...
Someone's been on Wikipedia.
Yep. Because I wanted to like... I had to find out. This feels like a computer game. Was it a computer game? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, much like Prince of Persia... of which it is inspired. It's like a sci-fi Prince of Persia.
And I don't feel like this translated very well from computer to console.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't take very long for me to bring up Blackthorn, because Blackthorn's a very similar kind of game, the cinematic platforming game. This is a much better game than Blackthorn, I think. Do you agree?
I think the story and sort of the look of it are better than Blackthorn.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it doesn't feel as smooth, because Blackthorn, I mean, a cinematic platformer, ugh.
They're all choppy.
Already, yeah. It's super choppy. This felt choppier than Blackthorn. This felt like I was really, press a button, 3, 2, 1, draws the gun. Press the button, 3, 2, 1, jump that you inevitably fail the first 3 times.
Right. Yeah, that is true. You bring up a good point, though, that I have mixed feelings about. The story for Flashback is a great story.
It is.
It's interesting, and it actually made me want to continue playing the game. The problem is a lot of the story isn't explained in the game. For instance, a lot of the story I found out when I was preparing to talk about it on this episode. And I know in some of the other versions, like I think the Sega CD version, there is audio dialogue in the cutscenes, and there's more story in the cutscenes that kind of acts as plot glue.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, man, the opening cinematic, which, by the way, the fact that this game has these cinematics, I think is amazing. I want to go ahead and put that out.
I feel like that was the giveaway to why it felt like a computer game to me.
You're right, but I also think that's why this game belongs on the list, regardless of whether or not we really enjoyed it.
Mm.
It's because I know someone out there will be able to, but I can't sit here and think off the top of my head of another Super Nintendo game that had these cutscenes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These animated cutscenes that were kind of rotoscoped.
At least not this early in the Super Nintendo's lifespan.
Right.
Because this was, what, 2 years after release?
Yeah, it would have been 2 years after release.
So yeah, I can't think of anything, especially before that would have had Pilot Wings didn't have it.
No, Pilot Wings did not. Pilot Wings had a landing on shit.
Yeah, story. I completely agree with you, the story. I guess I don't get the appeal of the cinematic platformer.
Okay.
I just do not think it's fun.
What don't you like about it?
At least on a console, it's just like, try to remember what button to press now. That's the crux of it.
Yeah.
Don't press the wrong button or you're fucking dead.
Yeah, it's like a complicated cut time sequence.
Or Bop It. It's like you're playing Bop It.
Bop It.
Everyone play Bop It on your Super Nintendo? Here you go. We got a good story with it. It's better than Bouncer from Roadhouse, Kyle Blackthorne and his magical shotgun go back to their home world.
I think that's the giveaway that this was a PC game. I think that the cutscenes are a good sign that this was originally a PC game, but I think the control scheme is even a bigger giveaway because you're doing all these complicated maneuvers in the game with so few buttons. And in order to do everything, you have to input these complex button presses at the same time in order to do something as simple as jumping and pulling yourself up to a ledge.
Picking up an item off an enemy.
Right.
I had to try several times just to scan something in to pick up an item.
Which, by the way, the items on the ground are impossible to see.
You just have to, while you're walking by, you see the flash of the word.
Right. If you walk over something, it'll let you know. But otherwise, don't worry about using your eyes because you are not going to see that pixel on the screen that represents a credit on the ground.
Go back to the story real quick. The story to me...
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the story. Tell me, Tyler, a story.
Tell you about the story or tell you a story about the story?
Whatever you want.
I guess I enjoyed it because it reminded me of kind of a mashup of Battlestar Galactica, Running Man,
mm-hmm.
Blade Runner, and Ender's Game.
Okay.
Like it cherry-picked elements from those four.
It did.
Or those different, you know, and just mushed them together.
I've got another one to add.
Okay.
They Live.
I'm completely unfamiliar with what that is.
It is an excellent, excellent movie from the 80s starring Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, all right. You got me there. I'm in.
So please check it out.
Because it's reminiscent of Battlestar Galactica in that there are aliens that disguise themselves as humans to infiltrate the human race and take over. Of course, it takes, you know, the Cylon element. Oh, I'm going to take that, put that in here.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I come in with They Live, because They Live is similar.
Same premise,
yeah,
okay.
It's aliens among us.
And then Running Man, because you're forced into this Death Tower competition. So it's like, all right, let's take the cool thing from Running Man, put that in there.
Yeah.
Blade Runner, in the sense that you're being chased by this sort of police force for your knowledge. Like, the Deckers after the other ones. I didn't like Blade Runner, so my references to Blade Runner would be a little sketchy because I watched it once. I was disgusted with it. I know people love it. I had to watch it for my philosophy of science fiction class.
Do you know what version you watched?
Supposedly, I watched the worst version you could possibly watch.
Because, in my opinion, there is a bad version of Blade Runner out there.
I watched, like, the director's cut.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I watched. And I just spent the whole time like, what the fuck's going on? I'm good with fiction. This doesn't make any sense to me. Harrison Ford, he's killing like the guy from Powder. I don't know. They're in the world from Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Okay.
We don't talk about that.
It's a great story, though. The story behind that movie is, you know, better than the movie. Just what a clusterfuck it was to get that movie to happen.
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers.
Special episode material.
Yeah.
Maybe with Second Breakfast.
Okay. All right. That's another one. We've got a few special episodes planned with them. I think there's another one we have to add to the list.
I don't think they're going to like it.
They might like researching all the shit that happened behind the scenes. I think Phil and Annie would dig that.
So what else you got? What other nods are there?
Ender's Game in that... It's up to this one man to kind of infiltrate the alien world
mm-hmm.
and destroy it and get away before they destroy, which I listened to Ender's Game recently and enjoyed it because
mm-hmm.
I know Blake Woods has a huge boner for Ender's Game.
One of our former super fans.
Yeah, former super fan. Talk shit about him every week. Never hear about it. Never hear a word from him about it. But, yeah, I feel like it mashes up all those elements.
Do you have Total Recall on that list?
No, I didn't think about that.
Because that's kind of with the whole memory thing.
See, Total Recall for me is just girl with three titties. That's all that movie is for me. Like, I've seen it like twice. That's the only thing I remember about it.
Because, you know, in this game, there's a whole lot of memory stuff, which gets kind of resolved early enough that I got to play through that part.
Yeah, with the hollow cube kind of telling you your memories are gone. You have to find a man.
Which, should we go ahead and talk about the story itself a little bit?
Yeah.
You may be better versed at this than me because I didn't get very far in the game.
Well, the listener, instead of playing Flashback, if you didn't play it back in its heyday, just listen to us talk about it. It'll be a better experience for you, in my opinion.
Possibly. It'll be shorter. That much we can guarantee.
Yep. You didn't want to use any guides or anything through this game. I started using a video walkthrough on screen 2. Because I kept failing this jump and I was like, Nope. Guide. So, window mode. Yeah, all right. I'm playing this the whole time.
Did you finish the game?
No, I did not. I think we would have needed, because we do, you know, a game a week. I think we would have needed more than a week to beat Flashback.
The first time, definitely. We've said this about a few different games, but this is one of those games where if you know how to complete it, you can probably just go back, play it, and beat it a couple hours.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
If you know exactly what you're doing, I would think. We've been talking about the story a lot. You play as Conrad B. Hart, an investigator who has found aliens. Tyler, they're living among us on planet motherfucking Earth.
Shit.
But we can't tell which they are because they're disguised. They know. The aliens know that Conrad knows about them.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do?
They come after him?
They shoot him with a white beam.
Because he's the one that finds out how to detect them, how to find the aliens amongst the humans.
Right.
He is, if I can remember, the character from Battlestar Galactica that figures out how to detect Cylons, but can't. I've only seen, like, 4 episodes, because that's one of those shows. Like, I'll start to watch it. Meg's like, no, don't watch it without me.
Right.
All right, let's watch it. I don't want to right now.
Then it's like on an infinite pause.
Yep. Wiley and Laura Ammons, huge fans. Huge fans of the show. So
they find him out. They knock him out and haul his ass to Titan.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why Titan is the subject of so much science fiction. Everybody lives on Titan, experiments on Titan.
It's clearly Saturn's greatest moon.
Yep.
Clearly.
Yep.
Hands down.
Because even, God, whenever I think of anything related, like any kind of lab, they're either on Mars or Titan. The moon, Mars, or Titan.
I think it's just the name, Titan, right?
People just like it. It just sounds, it's got a nice ring sounds to it. Intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if anybody knows, I imagine Titan probably has some kind of unique aspect, scientific aspect about it, like its atmosphere.
Well, it's got a jungle.
Composition. That's true.
It's got a jungle. We saw it in Flashback.
See, if anybody knows why Titan is so popular in science fiction, let us know.
Yes, please.
Or just why it's popular in science, period. Let us know.
Or
wink, Wiley Ammons.
Or why there are moons.
Yep. See, I know why we have a moon, because I watch Naruto.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's the result of a jutsu.
The moon jutsu?
Yep, it is.
Is that really what it's called?
Spoilers. Spoilers. It's a gravity-style jutsu a guy used to trap one of the tailed beasts.
Oh, come on. I'm not that far.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get that far.
That sounded like a threat.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not leaving this room.
It's like, well, I'll see you. You're never going
to
get that far.
You're
going
to knock my ass out and dig me to Titan. So before they drop Conrad's ass on Titan, well, actually, they don't drop his ass on Titan. They erase his memory.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this whole episode is spoilers of the story.
I don't think we can really discuss a game in depth without spoiling it.
So they erase his memory. He escapes. They shoot him down over Titan. He wakes up planet side with a holocube that falls to the ground.
And just tells him, your memory's gone. Here's where you can get it back.
Yeah, it's a hologram of himself telling him, hey, I know it's weird. You're hearing from your old buddy you, right?
It's like amnesia when you wake up and find your notes to yourself.
Yes.
Like, it's gone for a good reason. Just go here.
I mean, that's the general premise. Mm-hmm. You meet up with friends to help you take care of the alien invasion.
Then they die and you get away and the process repeats itself until you kill the aliens.
Pretty much.
Flashback. Like Sean Miller's Roadhouse. Flashback.
Roadhouse.
Story aside,
mm-hmm.
everything else about it.
Mm-hmm.
I, Gargamel style, hate, 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 hate this game.
That's like Kefka style.
It's or it's Kefka style hate. Yeah. As I was saying the hates, yeah. It came to mind. So like I hate this game like Gargamel hates the Smurfs.
Uh-huh.
Like Dr. Claw hates Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, I hope you were going to continue on.
Oh, but okay. I brought up those 2 points that these two hatred bullet points of hate.
Bullet point one, Gargamel.
To make two interesting anecdotes about them.
Okay, please.
Okay. After I graduated from culinary school, I had an internship at a Pacific Rim fusion restaurant in Louisville.
I really want to know where this is going.
And I worked the chef de cuisine there that I worked with every day.
Did you say Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim.
Is this based on the movie that's coming out?
No.
It's like the owner found out about the movie and was like,
I love this movie so much.
Got to it's make- all themed. Like all the chefs are in like mech suits.
Most of the kitchen staff was Vietnamese.
Okay.
And the chef de cuisine got here kind of running in Vietnam. He took like kind of sanctuary with the Catholic Church and they sponsored him to come over here.
Okay.
And like he's a badass, spent time in Vietnamese prisons. He was a smuggler when he was younger. He told me a lot of tips about like if I'm ever in Vietnam and want to snuggle.
That's where I like to go.
If I want to smuggle stuff across the border.
It's a lot cheaper there.
Like he smuggled coffee primarily because the communistic system there, coffee was his primary. He would buy like a big fluffy down jacket, empty out all the stuffing, fill it with coffee, cover himself in diesel fuel. So it would keep the mosquitoes off of him as he was running through the jungles of Vietnam smoking this coffee.
I thought you were going to tell me a story about ass coffee. I'm really glad it went motor oil.
The serval, the monkey that shits the best coffee in the world. But it also makes you slick. So when Border Patrol tries to grab you, he could make his escape artist and get away. Okay, this guy, he was a badass.
Clearly this guy is a lot like us.
Yeah, clearly. Clear, very much. Like I hold him up listening and be like, you're one of us.
Check.
One of us, man.
Just going down the list.
He would tell me about his buddy, Chicken Wing.
Mm-hmm.
They would dress, back in the 80s, they loved Miami Vice. So one would wear a black suit with the sleeves pushed up, one would wear a white suit with the sleeves pushed up. And that's how they pick up girls. It was 2008 when I worked there, and he was still rocking the mullet hard.
Girls being in quotation marks, right?
Well,
real bad girls.
Real bad girls. But he was telling me, I was talking about comics to another one of the interns there. And he's like, oh man, you like comic books? Man, I love comic books. I grew up, I would save all my money and go whenever I was a crier for the prostitutes. And I was like, the what?
Yeah.
He's like, a prostitute in Vietnam. Like, I would go on street corners and shout, prostitute here, bringing the people to go to the prostitute and get a cut at the end of the day
for
the prostitutes. Yeah. He's like, I save up all my money the prostitutes would give me, and I go buy comic books. I was like, oh, what did you like? Oh, man, I fucking love the Smurfs. Smurfs, Donald Duck, man. Love them. Love them.
He lifts his shirt up. He's got a Smurf life tattoo on his stomach.
So whenever I cannot think about the Smurfs without thinking about badass Vietnam chef de cuisine, just fucking love the Smurfs.
Fair enough. How does this relate to flashback? Your hatred.
Because Gargamel, yep. That's a draw. It's a very thin line of logic tracing back to flashback.
I got lost.
And then the other sort of thing being that I've read a theory that Dr. Claw is Inspector Gadget. He's the original Inspector Gadget, and the Inspector Gadget in the show is sort of a robotic duplicate.
Yeah.
So he's out to destroy.
2.0.
Yeah. That's what he's out to destroy, the new gadget.
Very similar to the Rugrats theory that was posed on Reddit that we talked about on an early episode.
So Tyler and Dave theorize about cartoons from your childhood.
That actually, I think I might actually be more qualified to be on that podcast than this one. I've got a story.
Please tell me this story.
I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but I haven't really gone into detail. Can I tell you my first memory about this game?
Mm-hmm.
My first memory about this game is seeing it in comic books, ads in comic books. Granted, I didn't see it in the Smurfs, but I remember seeing it in the comics that I was reading at the time. This was on the back cover of a billion comics. And that's what made me want to rent it so bad. So bad I wanted to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine also wanted to rent it. He had a Sega Genesis. All right, we'll check it out. So we rented it one weekend. We got on a Friday after school. Went over to his house, excited, put it in, turned it on, watched the opening sequence, was amazed, blown away. Oh my God, this game is going to be great. Wake up, Conrad wakes up on the jungle floor, and there's a beeping. We couldn't get past the first screen. We literally, for like an hour, just tried to figure out how to control the game because there was no instruction manual. So we had, like, we could move left and right, but other than that, we had never played a game like this before, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we were going to be, like, running around, shooting aliens, and it was going to be, like, a good time. This was probably my least favorite rental ever.
Oh, I totally believe that.
Ever.
Oh, God.
Just on that same screen for 1 hour, just hearing that beeping of the holocube.
Everything on that game that beeps was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Because it cancels out all the other music is like sparse.
That's another thing. There's like, this game has like two fucking songs. It has like two songs. And then it plays this little like Seinfeld number when you pick an item up off the ground. Like you pick up a key. It's like, ba-doom, 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 ba-doom,
ba-doom, ba-doom. You walk on like one screen, you'll get a little bit of a musical note. Four screens are nothing but sound effects.
Yeah.
If you're beeping, lucky,
it's just like a drip.
That, oh man, I guess that ties back to Maniac Mansion. Like games are just silent with sound effects, drive me fucking crazy. Even when I'm not paying attention to the music, I like having the white noise there.
It's not that bad when the sound design is great. Like Amnesia is wonderful because all that ambient noise and all the sound effects, they're engineered to make you feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But in games like this, and I imagine Maniac Mansion with no sound is just kind of like something's missing. It's like empty space that shouldn't be empty.
Everything's like so colorful and like there's nothing like creepy about it. So you just notice every little thing. Like I guess with Amnesia, it's dark and you're kind of, it's an eerie, foreboding feeling. And then, yeah, the lack of music and the sounds increase the effect.
Yeah, it's designed that way. Yeah. It didn't feel like that with Flashback.
Nope.
It felt like...
Let's just leave the music from most of the game to make room for the cutscenes.
Right, exactly. They wanted to save that space for that animation, I'm willing to bet.
So it wasn't ready to be on a console. Well, consoles weren't ready for it to be delivered in what the game should have been.
Yeah.
If you're going to play this game, which I don't advise it, don't do it for Super Nintendo. That's not the best way to play this game.
I'm intrigued to see how the Sega CD version was.
I bet it was better.
I'm sure it probably was.
Or I should say, I wager it was better. I bet it was better.
I wager you are right.
I'd really hope to start the 70s on a stronger note than this game.
Uh-huh.
After starting the 80s so strongly, and now I feel like we're starting the 70s on a really sour note.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, and then I can see why it's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that I've mentioned the show about, we're doing Flashback, every one of them have said, oh, God, I love that game.
Really?
That I
Man,
just...
That makes me feel like such a poser. Because...
I think it's nostalgia. I think that is 100% nostalgia factor for having something when you were little.
Here's the awful thing. I don't want to play this game, but I do want to play it at the same time because I am compelled by the story and I want to complete the story and I want to see everything in the game. The problem is I don't want to play the game because it's frustrating.
The mechanics get in the way of the storytelling. That's just a bad combination to have. And that it's not even that it's all that difficult. It's just the control scheme and the buttons are just so awful. Like, the challenge isn't the game itself. The challenge is just...
The controls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting Conrad to do what you want him to do.
In a timely fashion.
Right.
They're coming out with a remake second quarter this year. I would play the remake. Hopefully everything would be improved to the point that then you can experience what the game has to offer in a much better format.
Well, it's supposed... I was hoping that it would be out in time for us to play it for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be later this month is what they're saying. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it tipped over into quarter three.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a pretty good what they say in plus one. Whatever they say plus one.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And actually, I'll probably wait and pick that up and just play that. Because if it's done correctly, it'll take all the bits and pieces of the story that's scattered throughout all the console versions and unite them into one.
I hope so. It may be, depending on not, might just be something we address quickly during the what have you played lately?
Yeah.
Or it could be a special episode. It'll fall somewhere probably between the two.
Yeah, it'll probably depend on whether or not we actually like it. Because if I pick it up and I don't like it, fuck it. I'm not playing it. And then I definitely don't want to do a special episode.
Dave, did you like this? Nope. Did you like this? Nope. All right, moving on. something not related to flashback at all.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Because that's we need a breather. I don't have a whole lot more to say about this game, so let's just throw some filler.
All right.
I'd made a past reference to Last Action Hero.
Yes.
Jacob York blew my mind today. He was like, all right, the actor who portrayed the villain in that movie.
Yeah,
with the eye. Where have you seen him recently?
I know where you're going.
And I was like, I don't have any idea. It's like Tywin Lannister.
Yep.
Holy shit. Holy shit, he's Tywin Lannister. I see it now in my mind's eye. Oh my God. Yep.
When I was doing the show notes for that episode and I found the video clip of him with the smiley face eye, I had that moment where I was like, I didn't recognize him. Honestly, I didn't. I was like, he looks so familiar. And like, scroll down YouTube comments. Oh, shit.
So, Jacob, I'll give him credit. 30 minutes before I came over here to record this, he dropped that bomb on me.
Nice.
So I immediately wrote it into my notes.
Good timing. What else you got on those notes there, buddy?
I got achievements.
You got achievements?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear them, and I'll think of mine while you do it.
Okay. My first achievement is get used to it.
Okay.
And you unlock the get used to it achievement by failing at the first jump you have to do in the game.
Okay.
I'm reaching for this second one.
Okay.
So you'll probably be able to point out the flaws, because I'm really reaching here. The second achievement is called Temporary Carbonite.
Oh.
And that's where you complete the game, and then the achievement pops up as you're falling into suspended animation.
Okay.
No. That's what.
No flaws.
Carbonite sort of does that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Suspended animation.
It's like you drop them into that...
hibernation.
What you used to see in the mall and think that were really cool, like the whole needles, and you press your hand or your face into it. Carbonite's just like one
were
of
you
those
doing,
that keeps
were you.
Were
you doing heroin at the mall?
You know what I'm talking about, okay?
You know, you go to the mall, there'd be this little room, you stick needles in you.
Well, it's one of those things that was just the sliding bars that look sort of like needles, but...
I know what you're talking about. I just want to hear you try to describe it, because it's impossible to describe.
You go to the mall and do heroin. Is that not a thing outside of Kentucky?
I mean, okay. Is that not Star Wars? I've got one.
All right.
Do you have more?
Nope.
I'm really proud of myself because I came up like that. Like as soon as you started talking, I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to use. It's an achievement called Just Do It. In order to get Just Do It, you have to complete the game without failing a jump. This is a big achievement. I call it Just Do It because in this game, fashion has not changed. Even though you're on all these different planets, you're wearing your magenta t-shirt, your brown members only jacket, and your white Nikes. You see those white Nikes a lot in those cutscenes when he's picking shit up off the ground. And Seinfeld is boom, 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 boom.
Flashback.
Can I do a little segment we haven't done in a while?
Yeah,
please. Do you mind?
Do. No, not at all. Not at all.
It is a little segment I like to call Where Are They Now?
Oh, shit.
We haven't done it in a while because a lot of the games have been by the same developer. Mm-hmm. If you recall from Dave Reads from Wikipedia, Tyler, this game was made by Delphine Software International.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, tell me where they are now.
So I think we've done one other game that was by Delphine.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that...
And we skipped the Where Are We Now, I think.
Oh, because I believe Delphine is...
If we didn't, I apologize.
I think they're
extra
gone.
Extra content.
There you go. Because it feels like they had their heyday. Because having two games in the list done by them and then me not knowing currently anything about them probably means that they died a number of years ago.
You are correct. They closed down in July of 2004 after bankruptcy and liquidation.
Okay, going full THQ.
Best known for Out of This World / Another World, which is not the Cosby Show spinoff. I know what you're thinking.
What was the show where the girl could touch her fingers and freeze time?
That was...
Was it also Out of This World?
I think so.
Okay, because when you said they did Out of This Time, I was like, the girl, she pressed everything, and then... Because I thought she was really hot, and she could freeze time, then she'd clap and everything, come back to normal.
Someone will correct us if that's not right, but I can't recall. I think that's right, Out of This World.
I think it is.
They didn't do that show. They did the game Out of This World, we are going to play... And probably hate because it's very similar to Flashback. A lot of people think that
another
it is...
Another cinematic platformer. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that it's in the Flashback universe.
Mm. Damn it.
They're also well known for the Moto Racer series, which you know I've talked about Moto Racer. I love me some Moto Racer 2. It's out on Good Old Games. You should buy it. Play it. It's fun.
Okay.
You shouldn't, Tyler. Yeah, I probably should. You probably really hate it.
You, the listener.
You, the listener. Please check it out.
I do have one more thing in my notes.
You've got one more thing?
Well, two more things.
Two more things.
Two more things.
What do you got? What's one thing? Smurfs?
No. I think you should ask me about them in a much more seductive tone.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Got a very important question for you.
I may have two answers.
Actually, I have 10 of them because it's a pop quiz.
Shit.
That's right.
Pop quiz.
You're going to love this. Tyler, you're going to love this.
Mm.
This is a little quiz I like to call Flashback or They Live.
Okay. All right.
The motion picture starring Roddy Piper. So we already got it out of the way that you have not seen this movie.
Nope.
So let us begin.
And I barely played this game.
So, question number one. It was followed by a sequel titled Fade to Black in 1995. Was this Flashback or was this They Live?
I can't think of any like prominent black wrestlers that would have been fighting Roddy Piper, so I'm going to say Flashback.
Correct.
Ooh.
Flashback. Fade to Black, I believe, came out on the PlayStation and was awful.
That makes sense because I'd never heard of it.
It was not well received. Okay, question number two.
Hmm.
Had a line of dialogue reused in Duke Nukem 3D. Is this They Live or is this Flashback?
Looking at the comparisons between Duke Nukem and Roddy Piper, I'm going to have to say They Live.
Correct.
Yeah.
Having not seen the movie, have you played Duke Nukem 3D?
Yep.
Okay. Having not seen the movie, but having played Duke Nukem 3D, this is a bonus point if you can quote the line.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.
I'll give it to you. Yes.
Okay.
That's not verbatim, but yes, okay. That's the line.
I was doing that and shake it, baby.
Also probably in They Live, let's be honest. The line is, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
There we go.
Very good, Tyler. Got an easy one for you.
Okay.
Question number three. Takes place in 2142.
Flashback.
That is Flashback.
Flashback.
Number four. This is also going to be very easy because you've not seen They Live. Hint, hint. Features glasses which measure molecular density.
Flashback.
That is Flashback.
Because that is how they discover the aliens.
And that is also how they discover the aliens in They Live. Sunglasses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They put on the magical sunglasses, and now they can see the aliens posing as humans. See, I was hoping you had seen the movie because then I could get you on which one measures molecular density? The sunglasses and They Live or Flashback? I'm so confused because there are means to detect them in both. Unfortunately, backfired.
If you're banking on me seeing a movie, it's not a wise bet.
This is a good one. Question number five. Was based on a short science fiction story by Ray Faraday Nelson entitled 8 o'clock in the Morning.
I'm going to say They Live.
Correct.
Okay.
They Live. 5 for 5 so far.
Mm-hmm.
If my math is right, which is not very likely.
We fail at math.
Number six.
You're 6 for 4 so far. Shit, what
What happened? You are Q for 8. Number six. Had a comic book published by Marvel Comics. They Live or Flashback?
It was published on the back of every comic. I guess I'll have to go with Flashback.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You're doing very good. Number seven was written and directed by Paul Kuiset.
I guess they live.
Try again.
Fade to Black.
Damn it. It was Flashback. And I've got a bonus.
See, I was knocked aside by that directed part.
I know.
Like, oh.
That's how he's credited in the game, which I think is great. Bonus question to that. With your current knowledge that he was the writer and director of Flashback, he was the lead designer for another game that you and I have talked about in a Tadpog episode. This game was featured in a Tadpog episode. Which game was it? Can you name it?
I'm going to go with Tiny Toon Adventures Buster Bust Loose.
Shaq Fu.
Yeah.
Shaq Fu. So to all the people out there who say this is a great game, I just want to say the guy who made it made Shaq Fu. Period. Question number 8. You're still doing good, Tyler. You're still doing good. Question number 8 was originally subtitled The Quest for Identity. Is this Flashback or They Live?
Flashback.
Correct. Number 9.
Ooh.
Almost there. Almost there. Was referenced in the South Park episode Cripple Fight. Is that Flashback or They Live?
They Live.
That's right.
Okay.
That fight in that episode between was it Jimmy and Timmy is a shot-for-shot remake of the fight scene in the alley that Roddy Piper has with the other guy.
That is a good bit of trivia. It's a really good bit of trivia.
Question number 10 has a character named Nada. Is that They Live or is that Flashback?
They Live.
Correct.
Okay.
That's it. You came through almost unscathed. Almost.
90%.
I believe that's what I got on Riptar versus Reptar. Mm-hmm. So
I think I only got you with the Busta Rhymes.
If it hadn't been, yeah. If it hadn't been for the trivia that you pulled with our JRPG or Florida, I'd say we're even. But I still think you're ahead because I really botched the JRPG or Florida.
That was a really hard one. That was a really hard quiz.
And if you're listening to this and you don't know what fucking quizzes we're talking about, I'll link the episodes that they're in.
Yay!
In the show notes so you can listen to them. So, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Now that the excitement's
okay,
over.
All right.
You can breathe easy and relax and let's center ourselves. And I want to ask you a question. More questions. Always questions with me. If you were to give this game a beard, what kind of beard would it be?
I believe it would be a synthetic Cylon beard.
A Cylon beard.
So it would appear by every appearance to be a good game. But in fact, it's not. It's not. The details are almost imperceptible. But if
you put on the glasses and you see the molecular density of this game is far too high. I like it. Tyler, I've got one more question for you. Mm. And then I'll probably have more later. Okay. But for right now, I only have one more. If you were to put a pair of eyeglasses on this game's face, what pair of glasses would that be?
Well, from what I remember about the cover of the SNES version for Flashback, he has a green cover over one of his eyes, like a green glass. And it looks like me that is a Dragon Ball Z scouter.
Oh, is that the thing that, what's his name?
Yep.
Vegeta?
Yep. So I give it one exploding over 9,000 Dragon Ball Z Scouter.
Okay. I like it.
Yep. Although this game's power level is not over 9,000. No. The Scouter just malfunctioned.
We had some people call us.
Oh, we did?
We did.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Would you like to hear from them?
I would like to hear from all of them.
Now, if you'd have said no, I would have just rolled moves by Sycamore Drive and we'd have been done. But okay. These folks were nice enough to call us, so we should probably play.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tadpog. This is the Mustachioed Cleric here, Father Wiley, calling to let you know why that 80 to 100 would be 21 items and not 20. Because since you're coming up from a zero number, you actually count the zero. If you count from 0 to 10, you have 11 numbers and not 10. So that's why you had 21 and not 20. You're not bad at math. You just don't normally count the zero. So just listen to the episode. I think it's great. No way was I going to play the craft games that you guys put down at the bottom. But I've been looking forward to finding some time to play some of the rest. So hope to see you soon. Still love the show. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to the next one when we get on into the 70s. Talk to you then.
Thank you, Wiley Ammons. It makes good sense that Wiley would be the one to call us, correcting us.
Yes.
Because Wiley is a former, still does it, computer engineer.
A very smart individual.
Who works in the service of God.
Who is used to counting the zeros.
Yep.
As do me, the graphic designer, who maybe never counts.
We can blame the Indians for inventing this concept of zero and just fucking us over.
Thanks for calling, Wiley. I am sorry that the 70s are off to a rocky start.
Yep.
We've got another call, Tyler.
Oh, more?
Yes, more. I don't know if you remember in last episode, we called out to somebody. We called out to perhaps one of our best listeners.
Mm.
And we asked a question.
Okay, well, Let's find out who.
Hey, Ted Pog. This is Dennis Robinson, the supposed super listener. I just listened to your Noah's Ark 3D podcast, and I thought I would answer the questions you had for me. You were wondering about Ben Roethlisberger. Well, to be blunt, he's a large gentleman, most famous for forcing his gooter in places it wasn't invited. The Roethlisberger, as he is known in some circles who aren't fans, is also the quarterback for the Steelers of Pittsburgh, where he's won 2 Super Bowls. When he isn't trying to lure women to the basement to eat chocolate pudding off his gooter, I guess that's what he does. So there you go. Now you know, knowing is half the battle. So, also, the myopia thing. I believe that is simply when you can only see gooters that are really close to your face. Like, you can see it when it's smacking you in either cheek or, like, right across the eyes. But when it's, like, a long way away from you and it's charging at you from a distance like a Nazi in Wolfenstein 3D, it's just a blurry mess of a gooter. Well, anyway, I guess that's all I got for you guys. I love listening to the show. It always makes me laugh. Always look forward to Wednesdays. So take care, and I'll talk to you guys later. Gooter, gooter, gooter.
I don't think we've ever had a call that had more references to our show in it than that.
That was good.
That was awesome.
And thank you, Dennis, for justifying my theory that for every Super Bowl you win, get a free rape.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger, he put it, Super Bowls, 2 charges of rape. clearly.
Okay.
I guess Kobe Bryant's won enough NBA championships that his alleged, yep, all right. For every national championship in a sport you win, you get 1 free rape.
I actually had that moment. I know so little about sports that when you said Kobe Bryant, I was like, does he play football too?
Also, is he Mike Tyson? You played the punch out, so you know who Mike Tyson is.
I know who Mike Tyson is.
So yeah. For every, you know, world championship belt you win, free rape.
If there were a
America.
If there were a Kobe Bryant punch out, I'd play it too. We've got some more calls, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Tad Pog and Kevin Link. Hey guys, just wanting to call in and talk about the Flashback reboot that they're doing, and wanted to know what your take is on that, and what you think would be a successful reboot of one of your guys' favorite SNES games. You know, they've done a lot of reboots lately that have been pretty successful, like Tomb Raider and things like that, so I just wanted to see what you guys thought, and what would be a good one for in the future. Okay, love the show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Ramon. We kind of jumped the gun a little bit and already talked about the reboot.
Mm-hmm. And
Flashback.
I guess he put the cart before the horse on that one because sadly it is not Tad Pog with Kevin Link.
Sadly, Link was not able to show. But
Link being myself.
Link being yourself.
Link.
Shit just got
the
weird.
Big reveal. That's why he's not here in the room. But myself, Josh, Ramon, and Link, we all used to live together. So that's Ramon and Link, Josh and I being one pair of friends, Ramon and Link being the other, coming together under one.
Had a real Utah thing going on.
Okay, quick story about Kevin Link.
All right.
All right, well, all 4 college guys living in this house, it was fucking gross in this house.
Yes, it was. Like, I can contest to that.
We would leave the dishes in the sink because they would mold. Like,
yes.
If the sink would fill up, then we had a laundry basket. We'd just throw the dishes in until they would mold.
You also had a trash room. Is that correct?
We had the trash room where we'd open up the back door in this tiny little sunroom, and we'd just throw back the trash. I couldn't be bothered to walk to the end of my road, which was very short, and put the trash in the trash can. Nope, trash room.
Trash room.
Only whenever we had parties would we wash the dishes or anything like that. Link, we had so many dishes and so little sink. One time before a party, Link just took a bath with all the dishes. Link in a bubble bath, just full of dishes, just cleaning them off. He wasn't naked. I think he had like swim trunks on for sanitation.
I like to think this is the same bath. Same time you're getting a bath from Josh's girlfriend at the time. Just you flopping around, playing dead in the bathtub, Link just whistling with a brush, washing the dishes.
We got a lot of weird bath stories.
We don't, you do.
Because I do. I've got another one that I'll save for next episode.
All right.
My entry for our next episode will be my next bath time story.
Write it down.
And then, of course, Link, yeah, cleans off, sets the dishes up. We finally put them back and, you know, rinse and repeat the process until we moved out. But four guys in a house, nothing got paid on time. Nothing. Every other month we had something shut off and then had to pay, of course, more to get it turned right back on.
Sure.
You know, whatever. My dad got very frustrated with Link for some reason. He zoned out on Link. And I remember one morning, like 6 a.m., my house was an hour away from my parents' house. So my dad gets up really early. Of course, we didn't lock our doors either. So dad gets up really early, comes in, sneaks into the house, goes right up to Link's room, and like Link's dead asleep on the bed. And my dad just sits on him, wakes him up. Link hardly knows my dad. And he like wakes up startled, and my dad's right in his face. It's like, Link, I'm your daddy today, and you're going to pay rent. And my dad like pulled Link out of bed at like 6 and like helped him make a budget and then left.
Your dad went from like Batman to accountant like that. Like I imagine he's hanging Link from the fire escape, intimidating him to set him down and go over QuickBooks.
Ramon's question, flashback, the remake. My opinion and feelings are that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Eventually.
That's all
later,
you got.
Later than what we'd expect. And I don't think it'll be great. I think it'll move this game up from bad to okay.
I want to try it. I still stand by that statement. I want to try it. If I hate it, you'll probably hear about it.
Mm. It's good. It's good.
Thanks for calling, Ramon. We appreciate it. And speaking of Link.
Hey, what's up, Tadpog? It's Link, the hero of time. Just calling in for the flashback episode. Sorry, I couldn't make it down there, guys. I just wanted to say that the reason why I really like that game is because of the storylines. Honestly, the first game that I can remember that did have a legitimate story other than, oh, check it out, there's a princess, you gotta go save her. So that's why I really like that game, not to mention the fact that it was very challenging, and it was very rewarding in the end once you made it past all those challenges. So I hope you guys had a great time with the game. I know I did whenever I played it and then replayed it and replayed it again. And I am definitely looking forward to the HD remake. Wish that was already out so you guys could have included that with the episode. Maybe we'll have to do a follow-up episode in the future. You guys keep up the good work. Take care. Can't wait to be on another episode. All right. Take care. Bye.
Well, I'm making a nerdy-ass reference right now.
Go for it.
I'm going to tap 3 black mana.
Nice.
And play Dash Hopes on Kevin Link because we did not enjoy this game at all.
Yeah, sorry, Link. I really, really wish that you didn't have the mechanical issues.
He was here to play devil's advocate to our negative negativity.
Yeah, we would have someone here to defend the game. So I'm at least very glad that you called to express that there is someone out there who we know who likes this game.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to apologize to Ramon because I did not answer his other question. I just realized that right now.
What was the other question?
He asked what other Super Nintendo game we would like to see remade.
Mm.
I think it's a great question, so I want to answer it. I want to answer it by cheating and saying Little Nemo, Adventures in Dreamland.
Okay.
Not a Super Nintendo game.
Not a Super Nintendo game.
Nintendo game. However, I want to see that game remade. That is all I want in this world. I'd love to see that remade. Whether it's just an HD remake, that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they took other things from the comic and made a handful of new levels. I think that would be great. But that's what I want to see, Tyler.
See, I'm torn between several different outlets. Because one, I love Earthbound just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It looks amazing. I don't want a 3D remake or anything like that. I've seen fan sketches of an HD remake. And it looked very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to float that one out there, an Earthbound HD remake.
Chrono Trigger. Earthbound.
They made that. There was a Final Fantasy IV remake for Game Boy DS. I believe it was DS.
I think it was DS, yeah.
I could not get Meg to play the Super Nintendo version. She just hated it. She loved the remake, though. So tentatively, I would like to see a Final Fantasy VI 3D remake.
Yeah.
Tentatively.
Yeah.
Because I also love that game just the way it is.
I know. And I feel that's like
a 3D remake would date it of what I feel like is an otherwise.
But I'd be interested to see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, can I sit on the fence with you on that
mm-hmm,
one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There are a lot of games that we'd like to see improved at the same time. We hate to touch them in their majesty.
Yeah. So I cheated and you don't have an answer.
Right.
All right. Perfect. Moving right along.
Hey, Tadpog. This is Yuki's cousin. I had a burning question that's really been bothering me for a few episodes now. When you guys were talking about rage quitting one of the games that you were playing, my question is, what game has caused you the most rage quitting, in your time playing video games? Personally, mine was the 8-bit Karate Kid. You know, I wanted to break that damn Nintendo controller in half and throw it at my TV so many times during that, while playing that game. So, I was just curious, what's your all-time number one rage quit game? I will look forward to hearing that from you. Goodbye.
First of all, can you get us in touch with Yuki's mama?
We would like to meet your aunt very much, yes. Yuki's cousin.
Secondly, thank you for calling. And thirdly, I can name two games. World of Warcraft. I've raged quit several times in some derpy pickup groups where it's just one of those things. We've experienced this, Tyler, you and I in Final Fantasy XI, mm-hmm. when we partied together and we're in this group that is just awful.
It's like, yeah, six-year-olds are playing.
You remember, we were in a party once in Valcrum Dunes, and I swear the tank didn't provoke because his dog woke up his dad, is what he said. I'll never forget that. Everyone in the group dies. We come back, and he's like, sorry, my dog woke up my dad. He was really mad.
Because there were a lot of times I'd get frustrated. I didn't want to explain, hey, I'm dropping. I would just pull my Ethernet cord.
Right. I learned that trick away. From you.
Yeah. Like, they'd just see that you DC'd and not say anything. What I really hated was when I would when I would pull the plug, come back like 3 hours later, and they'd still be there and immediately re-invite me back into the party. Sorry, guys. My internet connection is... Click. Pull it again.
The other game I would have to mention, and I feel bad because Yuki's cousin has some great 8-bit examples.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are very recent because the other one is Dark Souls. I can't tell you, playing that game, I can't tell you how many times I literally thought I was going to twist the PlayStation 3 controller in half. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, really. And you can ask Nikki because, man, I'm surprised she even stayed with me after I played that game. Because I told you this story. I don't think I've even on the show I've told the story about me going into the kitchen and just kicking that Coke box for like 5 minutes.
Oh, I thought that was Professor Layton. I didn't know that was Dark Souls.
Maybe it was both of them. Maybe it was.
You're just so full of rage.
Maybe I got a little anger issues. Let's just say there's always a Coke box in the kitchen for a reason. I don't know if you've noticed when you come over here, there's usually a Coke box in there.
We have to keep one around David all the time.
That's my kicking box. Yeah. Yeah, I did kick. And I think that was probably the same box that I kicked for both games. So it's a shame I can't use that for an intro, but there you go. There's something about me.
See, I'm trying to think. I think my most recent one was probably Sparkster with the flaw in Sparkster making me furious. I'm trying to think. I also remember recently playing a game and Meg like telling me just to set it down and walk away for a while. I'm trying to think of exactly what it was.
Candy Crush
does get frustrating, but I've just reconciled myself. Like it's all about luck on Candy Crush. just gonna walk away with this one. Let's continue on with the show, and I'll think about it. I'm trying to think of what this game was that made me just twist my controller and get so mad that they're just like, just take a break for a second. Just sit it down.
Okay,
you'll go back to it. Go back to it.
We'll come back to it.
Zelda 2 had me screaming a few times.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Link.
Uh-huh.
Great, great game. Loved it. I'll probably get some flack, but it's one of my favorite Zelda games.
Yeah, you're probably going to get some flack.
But, after I played it, the challenge was kind of like what Link thought about Flashback. I can't fault him for any of his reasons, because the reasons that he liked it, I think, are all valid. The story, at least, I guess he found reward in overcoming these challenges, where I've just was like... But I was like that with Zelda 2, because it was difficult, and I had to set it because I played it on Wii Virtual Console. I had to set it down and just walk away several times, but very rewarding, fantastic game.
Okay. I think that's a good answer. I've never finished that one. If you want to be as cool as the people who called us, Tyler, it's real simple. It's really simple. In fact, Tyler,
smoke.
Well, yeah. I mean that.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Never cut your rat tail. Also works.
By smoke, I mean the Mortal Kombat character.
Oh.
Or as Josh Lance remembers, fog.
Josh will never let you forget that.
I just want to unlock fog. Smoke? Oh, yeah.
But at least he knows to count to zero, and we do not.
Yeah, it's true.
If you want to be as cool as Josh in fog, you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 270-883-2555. Chances are we'll probably play your call. We may or may not answer your question, though.
And I want to put a special challenge out there for two people I want to call us. One, Tyler Dunnigan. Two, Josh Edwards. I'd like both of you, give us a call. Josh, if you want to save it for after we have to play Madden 94, because I know you'll probably have a lot of things to say after we do that game.
That's coming up pretty quick, too. Yeah. I'm worried.
But I'm going to say, not Blake. Blake, don't call us. Don't call. By the time you listen to this, Tadpog will be done, and you'll be listening like that's like watching reruns of American Idol. Number is no longer.
Tadpog will be done, and flashback will be a reality by the time Blake listens to us again.
We got a lot of people to thank, though.
We do have a lot of people to thank.
All right, so for Facebook shares, Josh Nance, Nicole Nance, Kevin Link, Lord Mike of Purdue, Ramon, and call us in and correct us on how to say this. Natron Gartron? Natron? Natron? Natron Gatron? Gartron?
All good guesses.
Thanks for your share, bro. Thanks for your share.
If that's your true name, which I really hope it is, you need to register that domain.
Let's see. Comments. Had good feedback from super fan Matt Barger, who sent us a huge package in the mail.
Yes, thank you.
Sent us two games that have been on my Amazon wish list for a while, so he knocked those out for us. Great. Thank you, Matt. Very, very appreciative.
Thank you.
And then super fan Dennis Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Two new iTunes reviews.
I know. I love them.
Big deal.
God, I love them. They keep the gun out of my mouth, as you know.
So thank you for delaying Dave's inevitable death another week. Shorty No Pockets and your baby's daddy.
Uh-huh.
Not my baby's daddy, but your baby's daddy.
Right.
My baby's daddy doesn't have the internet, so not him. Retweets. Ramon, Laura, and Nice Gooch.
Yes.
Nice Gooch.
Yes. I hope. Are you related to Rub Gooch? Brothers.
The triplets. Rub Nice and Nasty.
Now I just imagine the live action DuckTales. Those are the Gooch triplets.
Show no link. Right before I got here, Lord Mike of Purdue posted some pretty great fan art of himself.
Yes, he did.
So I'm not going to describe it.
No.
I'm just going to say, go check it out.
Yeah, it'll be a link to that will be in the show notes. You need to see it.
And then one last thing. Thank you to all those people. One last thing to address. We're going to do a prize giveaway.
We are.
If you're willing to give us your address so we can send you shit,
right?
Prize giveaway.
You will get a quote-unquote prize.
Tentatively. Subject to change as we might want to refine it. But tentatively, every month, we'll take from the list of written 5-star reviews on iTunes, draw one at random, send you a gift, send you an also present.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm worried though, Tyler. I'm worried because what we're doing is we're giving away free shit that people have sent us.
Yep. Well, so far it's just Matt. And so, Matt said, why don't you give this away?
Right.
So there we go.
So all I want to say is just I want to clarify. As soon as the free shit for us runs out, you're not getting gifts anymore. Yeah. So if you want to write an iTunes review, you need to do it quick.
Although with Matt's package, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. You'll be pretty good.
You like Matt's package?
Matt's
do you?
Package was good. Love Matt's package.
Can we call this the Matt's package contest?
Yes. Done. Matt's package contest.
So what do they have to do?
They have to write us a 5-star review.
Go on iTunes and write a review. You can't just click the 5 stars. I know that's really easy. You got to write a review too. Mm-hmm.
And preferably not, here's my entry to the contest, 5 stars.
Yeah, that's an automatic disqualification. I'm glad you brought that up.
Because like Blake would do that.
Yeah, right.
If he ever listens to this show, we'll be out of prizes by the time it gets to it, but that's something he would do.
If you don't have anything legitimate to say, which I hope that you do, because we do want to hear legitimate feedback. If you don't have anything legitimate to say, might I just suggest you type in Gooter, Gooter, Gooter. Gooters for life.
I hope we have the lockdown on Google, Googling Gooters, that were the first result. I know for Shale Con Marriage Rapture, number one.
Right.
Hopefully Gooters.
If you don't believe us, Google Shale Con Marriage Rapture.
So for this month, our prize giveaway will be a set of Halo figurines.
Very nice.
I will post a picture to the Facebook group. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 78th ranked game,
X-Men : Mutant Apocalypse.
And Dave and I are making a special trip out to Atlanta.
We are.
We'll record this episode in Atlanta with a special guest host.
Who could that be? Maybe a wolf fighter?
The cast of The Walking... No. Nope. Nope. So while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. You might get a prize.
It could be you. It could happen to you.
You could get some of the benefits of Matt's package.
Matt's package is brought to you by Matt. Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week, like Tyler said. In the meantime, if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can always leave us feedback on tadpog.com, or why the hell not, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. You can even follow us on Twitter if you'd like at tadpog_podcast. Yes, I realize it's cumbersome. For some reason or another, some asshole has the Tadpog handle. I don't know. Take it up with that guy. That may be our next contest. Tweet that motherfucker and ask him what the hell is up.
Yep.
Tyler.
Yes.
We have an intro song. It's called Moves.
Hmm.
It is by a gentleman. I believe he is Scottish.
Hmm. That makes sense. Okay. I can see it. I can hear it in his music.
His name is Sycamore Drive.
No shit.
It's all those bagpipes in the song, I think.
Okay. Roddy,
that's
Roddy Piper.
That's Scottish, all right? Yeah. Scottish, or is that Irish?
I think it's Scottish.
Okay,
I
great.
I think it's Scottish.
Good. Okay, good. You know where you can find the track?
Where? Where can we find that track?
I bet you can find it on tadpog.com.
Hmm.
Bet your bottom dollar.
I was in that musical in high school. I love Scottish eggs, by the way. Since we're talking about Scottish eggs.
A Scotch
eggs.
Egg? Scotch Fuck egg. Yes.
Yep.
That's like the best thing about a Renaissance festival is a yep. Scotch egg.
Yep.
That's a show.
That's it.
In the meantime, if you cannot wait for more Tadpog, you can always leave us fat. Fuck me running. Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about X-Men Mutant Apocalypse now. Like, I can't stop thinking about the fucking game now that we've brought it up. I'm so excited because I don't have to fucking play anything this week because I played the shit out of that game as a kid.